This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
You're on Joy 94.9. Welcome to the Escape Hour. You're with Mark today. Today we're talking St Kilda, one of the queerest suburbs, I think, in Melbourne. And I've got three people here who are St Kilda institutions. And I'm going to let you introduce yourselves more than anything. We've got Jules, Marco and Paul. So, Jules, I'm going to start with you because you've probably got the most interestingly named bar in St Kilda. You're probably a newer bar, but you've brought some interest back to a part of town which was used to be the hottest strip in town and has been a bit unloved for a little while, but is changing a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us about your bar and how you got that name.
So the bar is Misery Guts. it was named Misery Guts. It's my dad's nickname for me, or it was. His nickname for me. A bit of a mutual thing, and out of love, of course.
Yes.
Nothing too horrible. It really polarises people. You either love it and smile, or you think, oh, I'm not going to go into a place named Misery Guts. So,
but it's a cool bar and you've got cool stuff. And it's it to me, when I first visited a couple of years ago, I think.
Yes.
It really struck me as a bit of the old St Kilda, felt like it was back.
Yes. I don't know how that happened. I just flung open the doors and I don't know, everyone loved it. And I've got a good crew of people that come down there, mainly locals,
yep,
which I really like. I sort of don't attract the backpackers, which is fine by me because I think there's enough in St Kilda for them. And all of my customers are St Kilda based most of the time. And
you've got pride flags, you've got a lot of queer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did that come about? Because it's, you're not an outwardly stated gay venue.
No.
But it's very St Kilda to be welcoming.
Yes. I'm not quite sure how that happened. It's just me treating people as I would like to be treated. Mm-hmm. That's my main goal, and just to be authentic and welcome everyone and anyone, and it doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
Just to be kind to one another. And that's all that I know how to do, really.
And you've had drag bingo.
We have. We had that last winter for a few months, which was an absolute hit.
Yeah.
And this winter we're going to do something different.
Yes, interesting.
Probably a trivia or something like that. But stay tuned. Yeah.
Well, it's exciting to know that there are other queer-friendly venues coming up in St Kilda, because it used to be a lot, especially the Prince of Wales was a big hotspot.
Yeah.
And there used to be drag shows and the Greyhound. And the life kind of moved out of St Kilda for the LGBTI community, and also around Pran, Windsor, where it used to be home, especially Commercial Road.
Yeah, Commercial Road, in the 90s, yeah.
And it just faded off, and it's gone to Smith and Gertrude Street or the CBD. So it's good to see that there are other venues coming back, and the Pride Centre's coming, and yeah. You just heard from Marco. Marco and Paul are from Fitzrovia, which is another Fitzroy Street institution. Tell us about the name there, Marco.
Well, Fitzrovia, well, that was the hardest name we could have find for our restaurant. It took us, I don't know, many months.
Was it named after the street or the suburb of London?
Yeah, that's right. So we've it was a series of situations that made us decide to call it Fitzrovia. We lived in a suburb in the UK for about 6 years, which was called Fitzrovia.
Mm-hmm. North London, isn't it?
It's now
North Central,
just next to Soho.
Oh, okay.
The other side of Oxford Street.
Right.
So one side is Soho and the other side is Fitzrovia. So we lived there for 6 years. We've got great memories of the place. You know, we were in very young, and we had the best time of our life and so on. The other reason why we call it Fitzrovia, because it's called Fitzroy Street.
Mm.
Now, I'm Italian. I'm from Rome. So Fitzrovia in Italian means Fitzroy Street.
Via.
Yes.
Yes.
So we were like, well, I think we found the name.
Yeah, perfect.
But, you know, I don't even want to tell you what names we're thinking of.
Because, all right, tell us.
No. Top secret.
Is this for new ideas? Taking yes, over the rest yes, of Fitzroy
yes,
Street.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, that's one of the... Yeah, so we call it Fitzrovia. And, you know, it's been a real success as a name. You know, some people thought we were a Russian show, Fitzrovia. But no.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think it's very British because of Fitzrovia in London.
Well, yeah, but some people don't know about Fitzrovia in London, so they assume that it's, you know, like Zagovia or a country in the world or something, you know.
Ah, like Bulgaria.
Or, you know, or something like that. But, you know, it's a very catchy name and very easy to read and people remember it. And we've been there for 8 years, so we're extremely happy about choosing that name and so forth, yeah.
So, Paul, you're back of house there, right?
Yeah,
all the delicious treats come out the door.
That's right. That's right. So we do breakfast, lunch and dinner every day. And so we've got quite a lot going on in the back of house.
Yeah.
I'm a chef by trade. So I'm a chef. I grew up as a chef. Started my apprenticeship as a teenager back in the 80s here when in the days of Gloria Staley and Stephanie Alexander and all these guys. And
I've got a trivia question I'm going to ask you because you're the right vintage.
Well,
so
that's scary.
Keep talking and I'm writing down a note to myself.
Right, fair enough. And then, so I did my apprenticeship here and then thought if I want to be good at this, I should go to Europe. And so went to Europe with the idea of being there for 6 months or 8 months or something.
Mm-hmm.
Met Marco, my partner, and spent 20 years there. And then we came back to Australia and with the idea of opening up a place.
Yep.
And so that's why the London connection works so well there.
Yeah. But, so you spent 20 years in the UK.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, it is a ton.
Big part of your career.
Absolutely.
So what do you typify the change that's happened since you opened the doors 8 years ago on Fitzroy Street?
Well, it feels like yesterday that we did, to be honest. When we came back to Australia, we moved to Prahran because we thought Prahran was a cool place to hang out, whatever. But we found that we're always hanging out in St Kilda. Mm-hmm. Like we had friends that were living down by the beach, and so we ended up spending pretty much every weekend down there. And this is back when the Prince was
huge.
Yeah, it was a fantastic place to go before
Monday nights. Yeah, drag queens having fun. It was a great night.
I think the Van Handels really ran it with an eye on the community.
Sure did,
and were a big part of the community.
Yeah,
and I know
very much so.
When did they sell that?
Oh, six years ago now.
And it changed a bit. I think Van Handels had a very different view on.
I think so.
Yeah.
They're good operators, really.
They're fantastic.
And so it ended up being where we moved to, and by progression, that's where we ended up opening our business. And so we really feel part of the community there. Like, we live and work and live a very village lifestyle there.
Mm. Mm. So has the palate or the customer changed much over the last 8 years, or are you pretty much seeing the same kind of people?
I don't think our customers do, because we, like Jules, we focus primarily on the neighbourhood and on locals. But I think the macro environment of St Kilda has changed a hell of a lot. There's still just as many beautiful people and a really socioeconomic mix that live there. And if you market towards those people, and if you're very customer facing, and if you know you're the operator, there's a lot of respect for that. But the majority of businesses now there have started looking towards tourism and looking towards that backpacker community, and it has changed quite a lot because of that.
Mm. Yeah, and Fitzroy Street's still got a lot of dark windows. The Pride Centre's coming up, and that was announced on the 17th of January that construction works have started and the contractor has been appointed. We talked to
Congratulations.
Jude.
That's
fantastic. We talked to Jude on SatMag last week, and the director of Hanson, I think it's Caroline Hanson, from the construction company Hanson Jungen, and they've already started doing works on the site. So it's very exciting that it's moving forward.
You must be so pleased. That's great.
And it's going to be fantastic for Fitzroy Street.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because two of the biggest changes we'll talk about after the break and how that's impacted you. One is what the block has done with the Gatwick, which is very controversial in a lot of minds. It's had very big flow-on effects. And also want to talk about the Pride Centre a bit more and how that's going to impact on you. And we're going to talk about Pride March. You're on Joy 94.9.
I was at work. I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab, or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. joy.org.au.
Today's story that we're really fleshing out on the Skype Hour is all about St Kilda, Melbourne's original queer rainbow jewel in the crown. Today we've got Jules from Misery Guts, we've got Marco and Paul from Fitzrovia, institutions in St Kilda, and just before the break we were talking about the Pride Centre opening, and that's going to change a lot of things on Fitzroy Street. There's a lot of dark windows, and you know the story
22 of them to be exact.
Wow, is that right?
Really?
I think so.
Wow.
There's a few.
It's tons.
Well, in my former role, I was very exposed to a lot of the landlords on Fitzroy Street. And I know that they have a very firm view on value and what they should be getting in rent. But you're hospitality traders. Let's talk about the big story here. Staff are expensive.
Yes.
And people deserve to be paid properly.
100%.
Yeah. Stock is expensive. We were talking to the Gin Queen last week and I was shocked at how much tax Australia puts on our own producers and how cheaply you can buy an Australian-made gin overseas compared to here. It can be 30% more expensive to buy it in the same city it's made, let alone buying it in New York, because of that pure tax, Australian tax on things. So stock is expensive, people are expensive, rent is expensive. Jules, how do you get by? How do you juggle all that?
Oh, that's a big question. You just do your best. I mean, I'm a firm believer in supporting independent and local breweries and as many spirit companies and soft drinks and as much domestic, you know, Australian products as I can, which is really hard because it's so easy to sell your soul and go, oh, get something cheap from somewhere else.
Yeah, the big American corporates.
100%. So it is harder and more expensive to support the smaller people, but I much prefer to do it. I'm proud standing behind the bar and behind my business, knowing that I'm supporting smaller craft brewers and people who are doing it tough like I am. Because they're the people who need it the most, not the bigger companies, because there's plenty of other people doing that. So I think that's a difference with my business, especially in the area that I'm in, showcasing a really vast array of products, and people appreciate that. They come back because they've got that, I've got that obscure beer or that Heathcote Shiraz that's, you know. Do you know what I mean?
I know very well what you mean when it comes to
the drink, right?
Especially in winter. It's a lovely place because there's a fireplace.
Yes, do have a fireplace, which I think I've become a little famous for. It's very crazy in the winter.
Yeah. And it's a former bank.
Yes, it's a beautiful building. We've got a the old vault, so the bank vault in there, which is... it actually houses the bathrooms.
Yeah, that's right.
But look, everyone has to visit the bathrooms once when you're there, so everyone gets to see them. Yeah. It's a beautiful building with high ceilings and beautiful windows that we fling open in summer. But yeah, in the winter season, it's the place does come alive because of the fireplace. We do mulled wine, and it's really a home away from home for a lot of my customers. Yeah. And a lot of people have said to me, look, Jules, this is my second living room, which is nice.
And St Kilda needed more of that because it used to have a lot of it and it went away. Places on Ackland Street used to have that feeling, and they've just changed. And I think it's a response to expensive rent, expensive staff, expensive stock, and trying to make a margin happen in a very expensive business. It's a mug's game. It's a lot of hard work.
Especially in winter as well, St Kilda can sort of shut down. Mm. And for me, I'm lucky in that I've got my regulars, the people that support me in the quieter months, and it's not just the tourists. So I'm thankful for them because they're my bread and butter. and they come down with their kids and their dogs and, you know, have a glass of wine in the middle of July, which is all I can ask for.
Have a chat, play some games.
Yeah.
So, Marco and Paul, the big change that happened on Fitzroy Street over the last couple of years is the Gatwick. Talk us through how that impacted your business or changed just your life living, working and being around the street.
It's been a kind of a roller coaster with emotions, the Gatwick, because you know, it brings a lot of factors and you've got a lot of people, obviously they've been taken away from that building, a lot of people that had mental problems and a myriad of other problems that has been always confrontational and how we're going to tackle that problem. Obviously, we did have a lot of people on the street that lived at the Gatwick but continued to create havoc and...
very suddenly, you've got this small population of displaced people. No one's looking after them. They don't know where to go.
And the community is St Kilda. You can't just rip them, send them off to an outer suburb.
Obviously, helping them would be number one priority, you know, making sure that these people are not living on the street and screaming their heads out because for no reason, because they've got mental issues. And, you know, and someone should really, really do something about it. You know, it's a very serious issue. A lot of people feel... endangered, they feel they're afraid of this kind of behavior. But I mean, I never had problem personally, and I hardly know anyone that's been attacked or anything. But look, by saying so, I think things have changed. We can see that the streets are much cleaner now. There are still a few people loitering around, hanging around.
That's always been the case in St Kilda.
But this is everywhere. Look, St Kilda, when I come to the city, I see exactly the same things. There's a lot of people on the street. You might not noticing it as much as you do in St Kilda because the city is much busier. You know, if you would have more people walking on the street, then you will notice less. But... I think that I hope that these people have been rehoused properly, which is very important to us. But at the same time, I think it's been a good move for Fitzroy Street, you know, to progress that way. I think so. Don't you think so, Paul?
Yeah, I do. In general, I do. I think in the lead up to it, we all had this understanding that something fantastic was coming. The block was going to bring a lot of activity to the street, and it was more in the doing of the project than in the actual aftermath of it. Now that the project's been there, it's like an empty block of flats. It
doesn't look very lively. I've got to be honest.
There's not a light on every night.
Does anyone live there?
And I think so. All the plants have died on the terraces and balconies.
I've seen that.
Yes. No, I think it's
still
just
a house of tears.
I don't know. Yeah, I think no one lives there. I don't know. It's really weird.
So while it's a really polarizing issue for St Kilda that we're seeing land value displacing people that really need to be taken care of. As traders, we're excited to have marketing of the street and activity on the street and something new and something happening. But now that it's all been and gone, we realise that it was actually in the doing of it that was the fun thing. Now that it's actually happened, it's like, oh, okay, well,
and that's why flats.
I'm so excited about the Pride Centre, because the Pride Centre is going to bring workers, it's going to bring people to the street,
more lasting for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More activity, and it'll just be one. How many staff are they going to be there? 300 or
over 250? I heard something like that. Yeah,
it's wonderful.
I am on the property committee of the Pride Centre as a volunteer, but I've only been in one meeting, so I'm helping out with the retail lead. No, I just started in January, December. Next meeting's next week, I think. But not sure.
Right.
But it's big. It's huge.
Big.
And have you seen the fly-through plans?
Well, we saw this representation of it. It looks fantastic.
If you look on their Facebook page, they've posted the fly-through plans so you can see how the building is.
Yeah, we saw it today.
What's going to be in it. And the architecture is amazing. So they've done a great job. Yeah. Yeah, it's quite a complex building.
It really is.
So I would say 150 people on a regular basis, which is
probably,
great. Straight opposite accessible tram stop, so people with disabilities can find it easier to access and egress.
And this is a great centre for young gay men, gay women, or transgenders, anyone that you know, for years and years they've been feeling so scared and not accepted. And so it's a great place for them to go and talk about lots of things, you know, and I think it's great. And work.
In a place that's really safe, accepting.
An astonishing place. I can't wait.
And it's wonderful for you guys that you've been renting here for so long now that you've actually got a home and a place that's yours. And that you can, all the societies can actually develop from there. It's wonderful.
Mm. Yeah, I know that Joy's earmarked to be in there, and we're looking very much so forward to that. I think it's going to be a bit challenging being in St Kilda because a lot of people perceive St Kilda, when we were talking about this off air, people perceive St Kilda for being so much further than it is. And I was talking to a friend who lives in Brunswick and they said, oh, St Kilda's too far, you know, I socialise close to home on Smith Street. And it was one of the more popular bars and I said, oh, let's have a look on Google Maps exactly how far it is to walk. And it was about 400 metres difference from my house to this bar on Smith Street to his place from Brunswick. And it's like, St Kilda's not that
it's a real psychological thing. I think it's that river. You know, people, as soon as you cross the river, people just like, oh, no, I cannot do that. You know,
I can't cross the river.
Pack your passport, pack your floaties. You know,
exactly.
It's not that far. I live in Collingwood. I'm on Smith Street. And people say to me, oh, Jules, how do you do it back and forth? It's like 8 kilometres. It's okay.
There's a bus that goes from nearly outside my house on the corner of Barclay Street and Prince's Street. And I think it takes me about 12 minutes to get to Gipp Street. I don't know why. I walk it sometimes.
It takes 13 minutes with a car. It's not a big deal.
No, you know? But having said that, I love the fact that people see St Kilda as being something other, because it means it keeps it a real village. And
it is a real village.
It is beautiful. Like, the difference between St Kilda during the summer and the winter, like, during the winter, you still see everyone you know on the streets and it's a real village vibe. And then during the summer, there's just 1,000 people in the way, but you still see the same people on the street.
True.
Sure.
And I love the fact that, you know, Fitzroy Street is packed with traffic as soon as it's 30 degrees.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good vibe.
It's wonderful. Yeah, yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, although I don't like how people are being politicised. Kids on the beach are being politicised as being such a threat to the community. I'm down on that beach all the time.
It's such an easy angle to turn into a political football.
Yeah, you know? And it's weak.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. But it's, you know, indicative of what's going on around the world at the moment.
True. So we're going to talk more after the break about Pride March, because that's one of the biggest LGBTI days of the year. I'm going to see if you're going to any midsummer events in St Kilda or anywhere else in Melbourne. There's lots going around all over the place. So have you been doing much for midsummer? Not yet?
No, unfortunately we don't. I mean, we're running a very busy place. And
this time of year for us.
This time of year is really busy for Fitzrovia, it's almost impossible for us to take a break. But I have booked a few things, which I shouldn't talk about it because it's a secret. But anyway, I'll tell you later. It's all going to be revealed. So,
we'll have to put you in the cone of silence. Probably,
yes, right? Please.
I went to an event last night called Wank Bank at the Toffin Town. And it was fantastic. It was one of the funniest events I've been to.
I mean,
in a
what
very
a name.
Time.
It's going to be fabulous no matter what.
Well, they.
Well, talk about your shot for your beautiful St Kilda, for the Pride.
Oh, that's true. I do have a specialty shot that we'll be running at Misery Guts for Pride March.
We're going to talk about that after
the break. Cool, yeah, we'll leave them hanging a little bit longer.
Yeah. We'll just keep everyone on edge, which edging was one of the topics from last night. And my friend Tamara won the Wank Award and was taken up on stage.
Of course she did. Of course Tamara did.
So it was a big night all round. You're on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hey, we're talking St Kilda. We've got Jules from Misery Guts. We've got Marco and Paul from Fitzrovia. And we're talking about how St Kilda and Fitzroy Street in particular has changed. It's always been a queer home. And next week we've got Pride March. And Pride March is a big thing in Melbourne. Fitzroy Street gets shut down. A lot of things go on, lots of parties. It's huge. It's one of the cornerstone events of the Midsummer Carnival and Festival, sorry. And you're right in the thick of all this.
Mm.
So, Jules.
Yes.
What are you doing to celebrate Pride and to welcome people to St Kilda with your bar?
Well, we're going to decorate the place, as we always do. I go nuts with the decorations.
Pride flags.
Yes. If anyone's ever been there, it's
intense.
It's intense in there, isn't it? There's not a space free on the walls. I'm always draping something and hanging something from everywhere. So it's going to be a great day. We're opening a little bit earlier. I think around 1 p.m.
we're opening up. Yeah, because Pride March starts at 11
this year. It's earlier this year, which... Yeah.
Controversial.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It'll be strange, we asked Karen about that last week when she was here in SatMag, and there are lots of reasons that fell into that.
Well, the heat last year, it was... A nightmare.
It was 42, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was challenging.
I have an incredibly large air conditioning system. So if it is that hot this year, then...
No, it's 28 degrees, apparently.
Ah, well, perfect.
Perfect.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Bit like today.
I've got some live music starting at 6, so a little bit later on. I've got this amazing jazz singer, Alma Zeiger, who's Deborah Conway's daughter. She's amazing.
Wow.
She's like a mix between... Billie Holiday and Amy Winehouse kind of vibe.
Awesome.
And she's she's young. She's about 21 and she's mesmerizing. So she'll be on from 6. And before that, I'm sure we'll be doing some disco tunes.
Yes, I'm sure.
And just drink specials. We do have a very special shot that we're going to be running. I don't know if I can
tell us. What's it called?
What's it called, you ask,
tell
Marco?
Us.
It's called the cum shot.
Okay.
$7, very, very reasonably priced for what you get. It tastes good. We've tried to make it as realistic as possible, if I can say that.
It's going to be a very happy ending to the Pride March.
You can definitely have more than one. More than one is recommended. Lots of rum, bit of cucumber in there for the consistency, bit of salt.
I can't wait to try it.
And it's always a very big day at Misery Guts for us, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Do you get to get up much, or are you busy?
We'll be busy. I remember last year I did dash out and have a look at the marches, which was great. But no, it's a big day, big day for us. So we'll be slinging drinks and keeping everyone hydrated.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Now, Paul, being a queer-run business, Pride March, Fitzroy Street, you've got to be doing something.
We love Pride Day. It's one of our favourite days of the year. We're really blessed that our location opposite Elba Park up in the up the top end of...
The Paris end.
The Paris end of Fitzroy Street is right where the parade starts. So we start with breakfast in the morning.
Yeah.
And the crowd that we get, the eclectic nature of all the people that come in, make for such a fun atmosphere. So we have the tunes turned right up. The staff absolutely love it. Everyone has a great time. And so we've sort of become the unofficial meeting point for everybody that wants to come and see the Pride March. Mm. They come and have breakfast with us, and also all of the participants in the march as well.
Mm.
Will generally come and grab coffees or grab drinks or whatever from us before it starts. So we're doing a Bellini brunch board because we've got a big street side terrace where the march goes by, and so we're offering we've created this fantastic board of all different mixtures of flavors and purees and stuff with an instruction manual on how you can make your own Bellinis, like 5 or 6 different flavors of Bellinis, and we give a bottle of Prosecco per 2 people, and then all of these different things that make up the first course of your brunch, and a very busy brunch as well. And then the second course, we give a breakfast menu, which is has 5 of our favourite flavours on there, and you can choose your lunch from that.
Yeah.
So you can book a table on the side of the street, and then the table's yours. And it also includes a really nice boozy offer.
And okay. $70 per person.
Yeah. So you have a bunch of people coming in who just... Every year, I guess.
Yes.
Regulars.
Yes.
Yeah. And what I've noticed before, because I march with Joy every year, I noticed that around your part of Fitzroy Street, there's a lot of other restaurants with outdoor seating.
Yeah.
A lot of people with mixed abilities and mixed ages tend to get there nice and early and sort of still themselves before the march. A lot of older people or people who might not
find it easy to walk and march, but want to be a part and want to be involved, have the opportunity to relax. And
we've got super wide footpaths and really nice accessible settings, so it's all really nice and flat. And last year we, for the first time, we got misting fans on the side of the road, which was the best thing. So we're doing that again this year. It was stinking.
Which I didn't go last year.
So it was a really lovely atmosphere out the front. Like, people had just stopped by and even just stand there for 2 minutes in front of the misting fan, just like getting a bit of respite before moving on again. But it's a great part of the street because it doesn't have the awnings over the top of the street, and it's all beautiful London plane trees. So it's really shady. It's just a great spot to sit and people watch. And as you know, there's lots of people watching to be done on the day.
And last year went on and on and on. I was overwhelmed how long it lasted for. It was so many people participating. And I think this year, with, you know, the new Lord, the pastor, Wilke Mary, it's just going to be massive. It's just going to be, I think, maybe probably double the size, you know. So I'm expecting to have a lot of people this year. Last year, I think the march went on for an hour and a half, which was unheard of, I think. Am I right?
There are a lot of groups. I can't remember what Karen said, how many people. I think it's over 100 groups.
Yeah.
But it's fantastic how many organisations have large LGBTI support groups, like Australia Post and like the big banks all have large support groups, and they march with their company, and that's their company respecting and understanding the diversity that they have within their organisation and their efforts to make sure that people can bring their whole selves to work. Mm. There's community groups like Joy, there's legal centres, there's, it's just phenomenal the amount of people who join up and go. Poofdoof will go. I don't know if they've got a list of what you're allowed to look like, but
Poofdoof, they're doing a thing at the Bolo next door.
Are they?
Yeah, they're doing big event there, in the afternoon, 3 o'clock. So a bit of more music and dancing and party.
Yeah, it's a big fun day. And then it culminates down in Katani Gardens.
Yes, that's right.
With the official midsummer.
Yeah, party.
Party. Yeah. So, Jules?
Yes.
What's going to happen next on Fitzroy Street? How do you find 2019 rolling out in front of you?
Well, I'm off the beaten track. So I'm just off Fitzroy Street on Grey Street. So for me...
Grey Street's probably got bigger change coming this
year. Well, we've got the new block happening at the old Oslo Backpackers. So that's definitely... Again, like we were saying before with the block, I'm not quite sure how it's going to change things, but I do know it's going to shine the light on Grey Street.
Mm.
I mean, it did the same with Fitzroy Street last year, but Grey Street, it can be still quite rough, I suppose. But
It's a diamond in the rough.
Yes. Of course.
But as the Alliance Francaise.
Yes, there's that.
So there's a twinkle.
And me.
And Miss Regards. And then there's a lot of community services.
Yes.
That are accessible. So people who require those, of course, will be up and down Fitzroy Street. Grey Street. Yeah.
So that's going to happen midway this year. So I'm expecting a lot more, I suppose, foot traffic and interest. And there'll be a light shone on that area.
It'll be interesting because the Oslo is more of a traditional backpacker place. It doesn't necessarily accommodate a lot of people.
True.
Like the Gatwick did, people who live in crisis or people that are needing that style of accommodation and support services. So it's not really displacing the way that the Gatwick did.
Exactly. So it will be different this time. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen. A lot of my customers are just saying, oh, my gosh, Jules, what they're going to do to you? You know, it's going to be amazing. So I'm not quite sure. It'll be
interesting to see because the kind of people that watch the block don't tend to be the kind of people that live in St Kilda.
Well, that's exactly sort of the.
Well, we had. I mean, this year of the block to us has been overwhelming. I mean, we had so many people coming for breakfast, lunch, just because they were visiting the site, taking pictures, and it's, you know, they had the block shop where people can buy bits and pieces, and you know, lots of people were referred to come to Fitzroy for breakfast. So to us, it's been a great opportunity. You know, it's been definitely very good for us, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone's going to live at the Oslo. It's just going to be...
I don't know, we'll see.
Expensive transactions and no one moves in.
Well, it's a much bigger property than the Gatwick and it is situated on the hill.
Yeah.
And I think that the top apartments will have an incredible view.
Oh, do you think they'll get a view of the water?
Oh, maybe. I'd like to think so. With price tags like that, you'd want a view.
You'd look at something.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's going to be exciting. And I'm going to be, I think, the closest watering hole. So
certainly,
I'm expecting quite a bit of runoff from that. Which
towards
would be
the Barclay
great.
Street end is probably the only other watering hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're very backpackery focused.
Yeah. So down. Might get some tradies in.
Yeah, nice.
Short
some high-vis.
Oh, yeah.
High-vis action.
You're at Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Today we've got Jules from Misery Guards and Paul and Marco from Fitzrovia. And we were just talking about what Jules thinks is going to happen around the Grey Street area in 2019. So, Marco and Paul, what do you think from your perspective as being long-term? Because you're also local residents, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. We live on Ackland Street, right there, right at the heart of it.
So what do you think is going to happen with the Pride Centre moving in, the ESPYs taken off, Village Bell change? You know, there's so many really big things.
We already can see a lot of improvement in the area. We can see a lot of young people moving into the area.
Right.
And, apart from being...
Like me.
Like us, exactly. apart being a fantastic area to live because of the bay, of the sunset, and now we got extremely decent restaurants. We got a beautiful HESPY opened again. They've done a great job. Recommend everyone to go and take a look at it, especially the Cantonese restaurant. It's one of our favourites at the moment. And Fitzrovia, obviously. Definitely, yeah, the improvement is out there. 2019 will be great. We've been participating with the council as well in improving the street, improving Fitzroy Street. We had numerous meeting with the new CEO of Port Phillip Bay, and we all exchanged ideas on how we could make St Kilda a safer, a more approachable place. And you know, we've been dedicating a long time to it, and I can see that the results are there. Things have changed on the street. The people and the whole community wants to happen. You know, it's just not the traders, but people that live in the area.
Yeah.
They just want it.
Well, Jules mentioned 22 closed shops on Fitzroy Street.
Well, yeah, that's right. You know, but it's greedy landlords, you know, and unfortunately that's what it is. And also, again, you know, I understand that, you know, people that want to open a restaurant or a cafe or a shop, they might think it twice when the rent is very high and there is not a lot of foot traffic on the street. But it's changing. We can see it. Weekends are getting very busy. There's a lot of people coming in. And as we were talking before, I think, you know, through the Gatwick closing down, through the block opening, these beautiful apartments and so on, and being on TV, there's a lot of more awareness about St Kilda. That maybe people had different ideas back then, and with all the filming, the new images, the new places opening, people are just more drawn into it. And
so what do you think council's going to do? Obviously, you being involved with the Traders Association, they're going to be communicating what their ideas are to improve how traders can perform, because I'd love to see a lot of individual, you know, not chain stores opening, but people getting creative and opening.
Well, the CEO, which is, what's his name?
Well, there's a big action at the moment they've brought over a consultant from who was instrumental in creating Adelaide as a concept of place setting, of understanding who the stakeholders are in an area, what we really need to develop the area, to make it more inclusive, to make it more responsive to what people in the area, both visitors and locals, want. And he's been very, very good over... And like Adelaide's gone through an absolute renaissance in the last few years. And so the City of Port Phillip have been very good at bringing him over to, specifically with Fitzroy Street, to say, what has happened in Fitzroy Street? Is it just that there are greedy landlords? Has the council made bad decisions in the past? Are there too many different stakeholders that haven't been... brought together, and so So there's a lot of action going on at the moment to help that sort of thing. I'm a firm believer that when it comes to greedy landlords, that we should have a system whereby if your shop is empty for a certain amount of time, you pay more rates. And if it stays to be empty, then you pay even higher rates. Until, and so it just creates an impetus to...
It's a really complex... I work in property law, and that's a very difficult thing.
People have got...
A lot of the landlords have other funding facilities based on the previous rent that was paid. So if they take a lower rent, that changes all of their other funding. And that's why a lot of landlords keep things empty, because it... is financially quite challenging for their other investments. It's not an excuse.
I hear you.
That's what a lot of people do. So it's cheaper for them, it's more profitable for them across their investments to keep something shut.
Yeah, right.
Because their last rent was, say it was $100 a square metre. If they take 70, then they have to divest from other areas. So there's a lot of complexities that goes with it. So can a council force people to change the valuation of their property? Is it the right thing for the community? Is it the right thing economically? The very big question to solve, and that would go right through the court system.
Oh, totally.
Probably
to the
High Court.
You see these issues in Lygon Street, in all of the major shopping streets. Like, I think we're just changing as a community. You know, there's much more shopping in Chadstone or other major...
Online
shopping as well. Mm. So I think high streets in general have to reinvent themselves as local places of the community rather than just retail spots.
Yeah. So you were talking about what kind of placemaking have they been discussing for Fitzroy
Street? We're talking about like using using empty shops for pop-up stores, bringing more young, youthful, creative ideas into the area. The Fitzroy Street Traders Association have been fantastic in for Halloween. Mm-hmm. They made the most beautiful street party with free face painting for the kids, and it's been going on for about 6 years now.
Yeah.
And every year it doubles in size.
Does it really?
Yeah, it's a wonderful concept.
I don't know, I haven't been.
Yeah. I think
do you do a filthy shot for that one too, Joe?
No, but we've got a bucket of lollies for the kids. But we call it bucket of blood. You just have to like, dip their hands in there
dare.
What they get. Exactly. Yeah.
Ah, so the community really gets into this.
There's loads of street performers.
Yeah, they had the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Performers.
Yeah, the whole cast of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, really?
And we've had the Addams Family last year and all these different jugglers and street performers. I think we got probably
And Halloween 3,000 was absolutely packed. So. The streets were packed.
Were they really?
Halloween was absolutely an amazing success, yes.
I was doing exams at that time, so I really didn't pay any attention to it.
You could hardly move on Fitzroy Street. It was so
busy.
To
go next
it
year.
Always depends what day of the week it falls on as well. I think this year or last year it was a Saturday, so I think That always helps.
Yeah. Not on a school night.
No.
And so they're planning to do something similar for Valentine's Day and so like you know, mark calendar.
Yeah.
Calendar.
The red letter days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's right.
Mm. Well, they're saying the National Gallery of Victoria is moving to St Kilda, a new branch. So we'll see.
What?
Yeah, well, that's what I've heard. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. NGV, yeah. Well, yeah.
A gallery on... Where?
Right on. If the the Triangle Project. Yeah. So that's still going on, and there's a lot of meeting about this project currently occurring. And one of the bodies interested would be the NGV to open a new site there. So that will bring a lot of people.
The triangle. Oh my God. You're at Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station Joy 94.9.
We're winding up on the Escape Hour, and today we've been taking a look at St Kilda, Fitzroy Street in particular, which has been, and Grey Street, which has been a challenged part of town. Pride March is next week. It's Melbourne's original queer community, and it's still going long and strong. Fashions have changed. People are starting to ebb and flow back. That's when you live by the beach, you know, the tide goes out, but always come back. Interesting that you were mentioning with the different ages, Jules, from Misery Guts that come in. There's like a generational gap between really young people and older people. We've had one message in. As a mature drinker, the SMS reads from the number ending 515, as a mature drinker, I love that Misery Guts has a mixed-aged crowd, so I don't feel like an old duck amongst the youngies whilst enjoying a drink. Thanks, Jules.
It's I love very an old duck. That.
But it's very much, that's a very St Kilda feel, and I think that places like the Dogs Bar used to be like that. It was just such a diverse mixed crowd that nobody felt out of place. And I think that, I hope St Kilda comes back with more venues like that that are less exclusionary and more welcoming to diversity, and that everybody, even old ducks, feel very welcome.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. You have to make yourself known next time. Next time the messenger goes, and I hope they quack at you.
Me too. I'll just be quacking at everyone that comes in.
Exactly.
Was it you?
Are you the duck? So, final thoughts. St Kilda, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, of course, yes.
What's your favourite thing, Jules? What really typifies St Kilda to you? Or can it not be worded as such?
Ooh.
Throw out a curly question of filling the last 2 minutes.
to me, it's the sunset, everyday sunset of the bay.
Thanks. I miss the sunset from where I am, but I don't know.
I'd say really simple things like Katani Gardens, like the beach,
the people.
Of course.
Yeah.
But really, it's the community.
It's just the community.
It's
the
very,
community.
Very
you know
strong.
Everyone. Mm. You know everyone. Everyone knows you. Like, you can talk to everyone. Everyone is relaxed. Everyone is willing to talk to a chat every day. How are you doing? It's
They're
a very
protective
bonding
of
community.
Each other as well. Yes. Everyone's very loyal, which I don't see in other areas.
It's funny enough, I spend more time, I think, socialising on Smith Street than I do in St Kilda.
Yeah, right.
Which is weird, I don't live there. But, I think that because a lot of gay venues are there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're not in St Kilda, especially after the Greyhound shut down. They just don't exist like they used to. And I think you're probably one of the few that's got a pride flag or colours painted on the box outside. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my flower box.
Yeah, the flower box.
Yeah.
The pansies. And so, Paul, one final word. What typifies St Kilda to you? Community, you were saying?
Community, It's a village. It's an absolute village in the city. Yeah. It might only be 5 minutes' drive to the city, but it's a place unto its own, and I love that about it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you to the old duck. I look forward to having a quack with you next time.
Me too.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.